Certainly good to see everyone out this morning. It's good to have Charles back with us for the summer. And I'm delighted to be able to be here. The lessons this month are when your heart is right with God, and certain things will happen. This morning, I elected to change the word when to if. Not only is it Brian's favorite word, but it really fits the proverb that I discovered. Not a proverb from Solomon, but it's nonetheless a proverb that I discovered in studying my lesson. I think it fits really, really well. However, this is my custom. I like to start off with something from the universe that displays God's power. And so this morning, I found a slide. This is a NASA slide. It was taken just a couple of days ago, July the 14th. And give you a second to guess what that might be. Kind of looks like the moon. I instantly saw a face. The man. There's two eyes and some kind of creaky mouth. That's actually our sun. This is what the sun would look like if you could actually see it. So number one, that was just amazing to me. I just thought it was a uniform yellow bright ball in the sky. But no, actually it's got quite a bit of features to it. That's all hot gases and stuff. And I was reading, the sun's eyes are active regions which serve as launch pads for solar flares and eruptions of superheated solar plasma known as coronal mass ejections. And the anxious crinkly mouth is a coronal hole, a relatively cool and dark region where the sun's magnetic field lies open to interplanetary space. So all of that said, the dark is cold, cooler, and the white is the hottest part of the sun. So who knew there are different temperatures on the sun? Again, you would have assumed it's all the same. So I was thinking on the way over here this morning, this is a little sun or a little star in all of God's creation. A lot of the stars are much larger, but all the stars we see in the sky at night are just cousins or clones or brothers and sisters of our sun. So anyway, I just find that kind of stuff amazing. What God did that we don't even know about. And I know there's a study somebody's done somewhere, but if our sun were X percent, I thought about this too, I don't know what the number is, 10, 15% bigger, we wouldn't be able to exist because the earth would be uninhabitable. Everything's just right. All right, if your heart is right with God, this morning we're going to look at the Christian's appearance or the Christian's dress, or as I chose to say, or as Brother Doug said, you will look like a Christian. So we're looking at different ways this month that to show that our heart is right with God, how it's exhibited, how it's demonstrated in our lives. And you know, Karen and I were reading a couple of nights ago in Deuteronomy, and there was this verse that really stood out to me. Just like I wanted to say Darren's song, here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And so this verse from Deuteronomy is much the same. This was given to the Israelites before they entered into the land of Canaan. Moses said, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Since I was preparing the lesson, this verse jumped out at me. And then, as Karen and I have read, I don't have a number to put to it, but Deuteronomy, this part that we're reading, it feels like every 10th or 15th verse, we get this admonition. Fear God and keep His commandments. Obviously, it was very, very important. So this morning, I want to examine how a Christian should look. And I'll tell you right up front, this is a large arena of study. It's larger than I had anticipated. So I have chosen to whittle it way, way down. I was telling Brian kiddingly before services began, my father used to give a lesson on the Christian home, and a good 45 minutes would be devoted to the Christian's appearance. That lesson was good for an hour and a half, easy. I dreaded when he wrote the Christian home on the board. He had a lot to say. And he had some good things. I'm not minimizing what he had to say. I chose not to do that. there are, well, there's 15 major passages in the Bible that deal with our dress code, how we should look. And every one of them deserves some time to be spent to study it, to understand why God is asking this of us. So it's absolutely no surprise to me that the Bible recognizes that a human being's appearance is important to them. We all care about how we look. I think most of us do. And so I came across some interesting statistics that show the emphasis that our culture places on appearance. So research shows that somewhere between 80 and 90% of women are dissatisfied with the way they look. I don't think in this room it's that high, but I do know there's a lot of folks that aren't happy. So in the year 2013, women had more than 10.3 million surgical and non-surgical cosmetic procedures. Now this was important to me, signifying a 471% increase since 1997. We are having almost five times as many cosmetic procedures done as we did in 1997. What is that? Almost 20 years ago. Now, although body image is predominantly a female struggle, it does not affect women alone. Approximately 43% of men report body dissatisfaction. So, which I would say, work out and eat less, but all right. Among adolescent boys, nearly 18% are highly concerned about their weight and physique. Men have had more than 1 million cosmetic procedures in 2013. A grand total of $12 billion spent in the United States on surgical and non-surgical cosmetic procedures. Well, the article went on. These statistics are alarming for two reasons, and I appreciated them bringing this out. The first is health-related. Many women and some men are starving themselves and mutilating their bodies to conform to a particular standard of beauty. And I really like this point. The second cause for alarm about these statistics is spiritual. When Christians are preoccupied with their bodies, it inhibits their service to God. Yeah, I can understand that. And so the article went on, pick on the women for just a minute. Countless women prepare for worship on Sunday morning, not by quieting their hearts and their minds before the Lord, but by putting on makeup, curling their hair, and squeezing into clothes that are too small. These folks then walk into church distracted and insecure, comparing themselves to the women around them and wondering if they measure up. I thought that pretty well nailed it. Not the folks that go to church here, but I've seen that a lot. I hear about it a lot. I heard about it a lot in the workplace when I worked with a lot of people. Our appearance is important to us. And the Bible does have things to say about how we should look. In fact, the Bible answers all of our questions about how a Christian should look. Sometimes we have to dig. Sometimes we have to think about it. But the bottom line is the questions are not going to be answered unless we study what the Bible says and we accept it with all our heart. And that's why I like that verse in Deuteronomy. Fear God and keep His commandments. They're not our commandments. They're not our agreement with God. They're not what we told God that He could do. It's what God has told us that we should do. And so I love this quote that I came across in studying this lesson. I'll pass this along. I don't think it'll apply this morning, but I'll pass it along. I skipped a paragraph, so I'm going to go ahead and finish my thought, and I'll go back and pick up my paragraph. Sorry about that. The quote is, you don't get mad at the mailman for bringing you things you didn't want in the mail. So don't get mad at the preacher. He's God's delivery boy to you. There are times that you just have to remember that. All right. Big quote, the big proverb that I wanted to bring out that I really, really love. Nobody has ever gone wrong trusting and believing and clinging to the Word of God. So here's my proverb. It is possible to have the right appearance and a wrong heart. But it is nigh impossible to have the right heart and the wrong appearance. I really, really, really like that. It is nigh impossible to have the right heart and the wrong appearance. So we'll come back to that proverb here as we continue with our study this morning. We never like to continue very long without going to God in a word of prayer. So we'd ask that you humble yourselves all together. We pray. At the beginning, I would like to commend this congregation for your Christian appearance. Y'all have been a source of inspiration and encouragement to me and my family, to Karen and I. I've shared the story with you before. In 1979, we went on a trailer trip with my mom and dad up into the Pacific Northwest. We ended up in Caldwell, Idaho. On Sunday morning, we went to church with your brotherhood, with your fellowship, and that really impressed us, the way everyone looked, the way they comported themselves. Everyone invited us home for lunch with them. I've told you that story. That stayed with us. And so when Karen and I in the early 1990s decided it was time for us to find something better, everywhere we went across this land, we visited the One Cup churches. Y'all really impressed us. You were consistent in your appearance. You were consistent in your belief. So you sisters are going to deal with the brunt of our discussion this morning, but I've written it in the form of principles which apply to both male and female. That said, it was the appearance of the Christian sisters in our brotherhood that won Karen and I's heart. So I commend you guys, I commend you sisters for that, and I wanted to say that up front. You know, upon seeing someone that was inappropriately dressed, my father would, my non-politically correct father, would often remark, "What you don't see when you haven't got a gun." It took me a long time to figure that one out. What you don't see when you haven't got a gun. I have, from time to time, had to deal with something that I would wished I hadn't seen. And I often think of the old country song by Cal Smith. It has a stanza that goes like this, and she said, "Hello, country bumpkin, how's the frost out on the pumpkin? I've seen some sights, but man, you're something." And that one comes to my mind from time to time. You know, I'm quite sure that we've all seen people whose appearance we would just as soon forget. I almost hate going to the grocery store for having my senses assaulted by the lack of civility in dress today. Some of them are just horrible. And the older I get, the worse it gets. So what does the Bible say about how we should look? Well, as a matter of fact, it says a lot. As I said earlier, there's 15 major passages that deal with our appearance. And this morning, I wanted to concentrate on a few that discuss seven principles behind our appearance. So my first principle this morning that we'd like to look at and discuss, and these will not take all that long, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not our own. And so we read a familiar verse in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So Paul puts up here right in front, we don't get to decide what we're going to do with our body. That is God's property, and we need to respect and honor that. And so there's a series of questions that I think we can ask ourselves as we examine the application of this principle in our life. Number one, do I please the Lord in the way I dress? Would I be ashamed of what I am wearing if Jesus came back today? Does what I wear bring reproach upon Christ? Can the world know that by what I wear every day that I am a child of God? So these are questions that we all can ask ourselves as we consider the role of our appearance. And as I said, Karen and I are with you because many of you answered these questions. You wanted to have your heart right with God. You wanted to have a Christian appearance. So, do I please the Lord with the way I dress? As a child of God, we should desire to please the Lord with all of our heart. And to be like Jesus should be our constant goal. Anything less would not be proper. And since we are the purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe He has the right to dictate our lives. We should desire for Him to take full control of our lives and pattern them as He desires. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not our own. The Apostle Peter is the source for our second principle this morning, and that is that we should have a quiet spirit, that is of greater worth in God's sight than whatever we might choose to wear. And so, in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 and 4, I'm going to read from the King James first, and then I'm going to read from the New King James, which gives it, inserts a word that makes all the difference in the world to me and to a lot of folks, actually. So, 1 Peter 3, whose adorning, talking about the sisters, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now there are folks in the world, and I've met a few, who say, well, that teaches you that women cannot wear gold, cannot wear a gold wedding ring, can't fix their hair, can't put on anything that would be considered finery. I never have been able to fully understand that. And when you read the New King James, it makes a lot of sense. So here we are, New King James, your pew Bibles. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. You see, nowhere else in the Bible do we have any prohibitions about what we wear. The reason we wear it, yes, what's in our heart, do we do it to show off? Those are all there. But this explains it perfectly. It's not just what we put on the outside, he says, but you work on the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, I really, really do appreciate that. As I've met women that I consider to be true Christian examples, Christian women with a great spirit. You know, they are the most beautiful people I've ever met. I can honestly say that. When I was younger, I looked at the physical too much. It's that gentle and quiet spirit that is so beautiful in a person, man or woman, especially in a woman. You know, the fact is, our dress code and our outward appearance tell the world where our hearts are and to whom we belong. Christians should set forth the biblical standard for the world and submit to God. We are, as the song says, after all, the only Bible a whole bunch of people in this world are going to read. So when they see us, they should see a child of God who has an obligation to God, the Bible, God's Word, and the world to dress according to what God commands and expects. Many say it doesn't matter what we wear, but where our heart is. Well, in these last days, the world and Hollywood are setting the standards of dress instead of the church and the Word of God. Television and entertainment are setting the dress code for young people. Young people in churches all over the world are looking everywhere but the Word of God to determine what they should wear. If we dress and wear the latest fashions of the day that reveal the body, this will cause the lost person to wonder if there's a difference between the Christian and the unbeliever. And that's a very true statement. Number three, we should examine the reason for our appearance. And for this principle, I'm appealing to Isaiah, the 3rd chapter. Those of you that were here the last Wednesday night that I had the lesson, we're going to look at 21 fashion accessories in the people of Judea and find out that God didn't care about the fashion accessories, but He was after the reason that they were wearing them. So I'm going to reprise this. Isaiah 3, verses 16 through 23. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a jingling with their feet, therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery, The jingling anklets, the scarves and crescents, the pendants and the bracelets and the veils, the headdresses, the leg ornaments and the headbands, the perfume boxes, the charms or amulets, and the rings, the nose jewels, the festal apparel and the mantles, the outer garments, the purses and the mirrors, the fine linen, the turbans and the robes. Well, there's nothing in this list that's a sin to wear, except I don't think it would be appropriate for a Christian to wear a charm, an amulet, to ward off evil spirits. That was what that word meant. But other than that, we can't find anywhere else in the Bible where God's condemning women wearing this. I know this is one of Karen's favorite accessories. You know, if you're going to believe God's condemning you for wearing a purse, it just doesn't quite fit, you know? So, let's look at what God was saying here to these daughters of Zion. He's saying, you girls, you women, you're wearing the finery, the jewels, that your husband stole from the poor people. And you're doing it with pride. That makes all the difference in the world. God condemned Judah at this time because the women were overcome with pride, wearing those jewels that their husbands had robbed from the poor. Notice, because their heart was not right, nothing they wore could cover their guilt. I like that. There's nothing we can wear to cover our guilt if our heart is not right with God. Speaking of our heart, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul knew that the secret to a Christian's appearance was a heart that submitted to God's will. Now, a lot of folks get upset and mad when a preacher or anybody else, any other Christian, tells them what the Bible says. But as we've studied, God blesses those that honor the Word of God. Those who are sold out to God will search and seek the truth, and when they see the truth, they will accept it, and that truth will make them free. The heart is the secret to having a great Christian appearance, or to having a proper Christian appearance. Now, we're going to strike a gold mine. We've covered three of our principles this morning. The next four, or the last four, are going to be all contained in one verse. And I've underlined them to help. The Apostle Paul is going to write in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, he says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becomes women professing godliness with good works. Now there are these three words that we'll look at, three principles, and then we'll wrap up with the final principle, that of good works. This sounds a whole lot like what Peter, we just read in 1 Peter 3, doesn't it? I have to think these guys were playing from the same book. So number four principle, we should show respect and modesty in what we wear. Now, modest, or the word modest, komios, refers to things that are orderly, showing good behavior, or respectable. We should wear what is respectable. I realize that's culture driven. Depends on where we are in the world as to what's respectable. No problem there. We can still pick out those things that are orderly, that show that we have good behavior, that we have a Christian heart. Next principle. We should never wear anything that brings attention to our body. Shamefacedness. We looked at modest apparel, now we're looking at shamefacedness. We should never wear anything that brings attention to our body. The word shamefacedness means propriety, eidos, refers to having a sense of shame, bashfulness, or reverence. I remember as a young boy, all of my friends at school ran around on the weekends without shirts on. So one day I got my courage up and I decided I'm going to do that too. So I walked out of the house without a shirt on, without my t-shirt on. Fortunately for me, my dad was a little distance away when he saw me. And he explained in no uncertain terms that a Christian does not run around
without a shirt on. Fortunately, like I said, he could calm down before he got to me. That stuck with me.
Okay? I felt bashful going outside without my shirt on. It bothered me, but I was going to do it because all my friends were doing it. Well, that bashfulness is there for a good reason. If you wear something, you go, I don't know about this. Don't walk out. Just change into something else. Yeah. There's no need for us to push the limit when it comes to looking like a Christian. We should never wear anything that brings attention to our body. You know, most of us would use this passage to argue against clothing that reveals too much flesh, and it's certainly a good verse to wear, It's a good verse to use. The word eidoshymphasinus hits at the core of the problem of clothing designed to be sensual. Neither male nor female Christian should be dressed in provocative ways to arouse the passions of those seeing them. We just do not need to dress provocatively as Christians. The church and the child of God should have the highest standards of all. A Christian lady should never be seen in public in a revealing garment, period. Equal rights for women have destroyed the virtuous woman. It is not uncommon to see women dressed just like men with short hair and a masculine walk. We're living in the day of effeminate men and masculine women. The devil is doing what he can to tear down the differences between men and women. He's using Hollywood and the fashion industry to help him. It is time that men and women come back to the biblical role of being a Christian and dressing like one. Likewise, Christian men should never be seen in public going without a shirt. He should refrain, and I picked this up from one commentator, the Christian man should refrain from wearing a necklace, earrings, or any other apparel that demeans his manhood. Put it simply, as my wife would put it, you need to look like John Wayne. We men need to look like men. This is a day of perversion, cross-dressers, sex changes, and men who get a thrill from wearing clothing pertaining to women, or not wearing any clothing at all. Luke 8 and verse 35, there was that man, that madman, and they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found this man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. The maniac, the Legion of Gadara, lived in the tombs. He cut himself, and the Bible says he wore no clothes. The Bible inference is, if you don't wear clothes, you don't have any sense. You don't have your senses. You're not all there. All right. When he came to Jesus and the demons were cast out of him, he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And I just like the association there. If you're in your right mind, you'll be clothed when you go out in public. This should tell us that follow Jesus with all our heart, put on garments that will cover our nakedness. It is an automatic thing. When you get right with God, you will dress according to the Bible. Child of God, whether man or woman, should never wear anything that is revealing or brings attention to the body. To cause someone to look on us, to lust after us, is just as wrong as the one doing the lusting. Today's fashions excel in bringing attention to the body. The devil is doing all he can to break down the morals of modesty and decency. Each year, the fashions are more revealing than the year before. Each year, you will find the morals and modesty slipping away as well. For a Christian to wear these revealing fashions is a sin, and it must be repented of. It may be popular to wear the latest fashions according to the world, but we need to ask ourselves, does it please the Lord? Is it in accordance with what the Bible teaches? Next principle. We should dress with a sense of moderation, not rebellion. And I'll just say parenthetically, if you want to see rebellious dress, if you want to see what I'm talking about, just go to Stripes after about 10 o'clock in the evening. I went a couple of times. I've refused to go. Karen needs something. I'm sorry. I'm not going to the store at this time of night. I cannot stand what they're wearing. It's rebellion, pure and simple. The word moderation back in our 1 Timothy 2 passage refers to sobriety, having a good sense, a soundness of mind, a display of self-respect, self-restraint. Society has rules of conduct governing correct behavior, and these informal rules include ideas as to what is respectable clothing. Christians are expected to operate within the bounds of society's expectations as our behavior influences how society perceives God. We're the only Bible the careless world will read. Christians are not to be seen as rebels flaunting those in authority. The Bible teaches children are to be obedient to their parents. Wives are to be submissive to their husbands. Slaves are to be in subjection to their masters. Christians are to obey their government's laws. Rebellion is a sin of pride and stubbornness. Rebellion is not, should not be part of the Christian's dress. Ours is to please God, not to rebel against Him. When a person chooses to dress rebelliously, he leaves the impression that he will refuse to listen to rules. He will walk in his own way, and he doesn't care what anyone thinks. Is that a display of Christian meekness, submission, humbleness, and strength? And finally, this morning, our seventh principle, our attractiveness should come from our good works. Remember back in 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10, that last passage. Paul wasn't focused solely on lewd attire. He illustrated his point by mentioning braided hair, expensive jewelry, and costly clothing. A person putting his wealth on display is not showing self-restraint, but an attitude of, look at me, I'm rich. People ought to notice the Christian because of who she is and not because of what she is wearing. I chose those pronouns intentionally because you sisters have the greatest opportunity to impress others as to the Christian appearance. Most of us guys, we wear the same thing. And guys all over the United States wear pretty much the same thing that we do. You women can make a difference, you sisters. People ought to notice the Christian, like what she does, who she is, not because of what she is wearing. Paul emphasizes that our attractiveness comes from our good works. And Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Excuse me. There you go. We glorify God by our good works. You know, today we're teaching our children everything but the Word of God about how a person should dress, and especially the baptized child of God. The Bible has much to say about how and why we should dress as we do. I'm in favor of strong biblical teaching and adherence to the Word of God. And I believe that will produce men and women with godly character and a strong conviction to keep themselves covered. I've chosen to highlight that one this morning. That is one of the greatest sins that I see in appearance. Just simply not having enough on. And as I said, the older I get, the more it bothers me. I mean, there are times I just literally have to, I have to look at the wall. I don't want to see that. I don't want you showing it to me. All right. My proverb, to conclude, it is possible to have the right appearance and a wrong heart, but it is nigh impossible to have the right heart and the wrong appearance. We looked at seven principles this morning to guide us in our Christian appearance. I believe they apply equally to us guys as they do to you women. You sisters, but I would hope that all of us would take the encouragement to be more like Christ, to please God in all that we do, including what we wear. We never like to close without offering an invitation. If you're here, if we can assist you in any way, won't you come while together we stand and sing.